Hello everybody, this is John Schallert, and welcome to Destination University. Today I have the pleasure of speaking to Shep Hyken. Let me tell you about him. Shep Hyken is the Chief Amazement Officer of Shepherd Presentations. As a speaker and author, Shep works with companies and organizations who want to build loyal relationships with their customers and employees. He's the author of all of these books, Moments of Magic, The Loyal Customer, and the Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestsellers, The Cult of the Customer, and The Amazement Revolution, which was also recognized as a New York Times bestseller. Today we'll be talking about his newest book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, 52 Tools for Delivering the Most Amazing Customer Service on the Planet. Since 1983, Shep has worked with hundreds of clients ranging from Fortune 100-sized organizations to companies with less than 50. Some of his clients include AT&T, American Express, General Motors, IBM, Kraft, Marriott, Toyota, Verizon, and many, many more. Shep is also the creator of the Customer Focus Program, which helps clients develop a customer service culture and loyalty mindset. With that, I'd like to welcome back Shep Hyken to Destination University. Hello, Shep.
Hey, man. Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
No, you're welcome. Hey, get us started talking about your newest book, because I really like the intro where you said, this book's not meant to be read. This book's meant to be used. Talk about how this book's different than some of your other business books and other business books these business listeners would listen to.
Well, sure. And there's a couple of questions in that one question.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you several answers.
Okay.
First, why should the book not be read but used? Well, obviously, you have to read the book in order to use it. But the goal is that I want people to pick up the book, read the first two or three chapters, which is the setup, and then the last five chapters of the book, which makes up probably three-quarters of the book, are the five areas that we focus on with customer service. And within those five areas, there are 52 tools. And realistically, you can open up to any one of those on any given day or any given week and say, okay, this is the one I want to focus on this week. You can go out of order. You can just peruse the table of contents and say, oh, that one looks interesting to me, and jump to it. You don't have to read the book in any order. But the idea is that each of these tools, they're basically tactics or strategies. You would read it, and they're very short, maybe a couple of pages at the most. And at the end are questions. And the questions are meant to make you think about how you'll use that particular tool. So it's a great opportunity for an individual, or if a manager or a group leader, supervisor, or anybody wants to have a group of people, they can have everybody, you know, read the chapter, or they can talk about the tool and then answer the question, create a great facilitated conversation around it. We actually created a deck of cards where it's the 52 tools are listed with the question, you know, underneath, and then you shuffle them up and just choose one, and that's the one you're going to work on.
That's great. Hey, while you're talking about those 52 tools, how did you pick 52 as the number?
Wow. Yeah, and 52, and just, you know, as I started out with 15 or so, and as I was interviewing people for the book, and I'll talk about that in just a little while if you want, is who those folks were, but they kept giving me new ideas and twists on it, and all of a sudden I realized, boy, I don't have 15, I have 28. Boy, I have 34, 35 now. Boy, I'm into the 40s. You know what? I'm going to shoot for 52. First of all, because you can work on one a week, okay, if you wanted to.
Yep.
And second of all, 52 cards and a deck of cards. Why not create a deck of cards with each one of these, as I just mentioned? Shuffle them up, choose one, and have fun with it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So explain to our listeners who haven't read your book yet why you chose Ace Hardware to highlight in this book.
And by the way, those are the people that I interviewed. So Ace is the place, the helpful hardware place, and they are truly helpful. They operationalize the word helpful, but what happened is different from other books that I've written where I use multiple companies as case studies and role models throughout the book. I wanted to take those first 15 or so concepts that I had that I was going to write about, and I said, what if I found one company that embodied all of those? What would that look like, and could that be done? So I would go out, and as I was doing my speeches, talk to the different organizations I worked for. Some of them are really, really high profile. And Ace Hardware, by the way, very high profile company. They're just a little bit under the radar as far as being recognized as the rock star that they actually are in the world of customer service. And I was doing the presentation, and they told me they had just been awarded their fifth year in a row the J.D. Power Award. And I went, wow. And by the way, now it's 7 years in a row. Last year, Business Week listed the top 25 customer service brands. They were number 10. And I went, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And what's really impressive is that one of my other favorite companies, the Ritz-Carlton, was rated number 12.
Wow.
So a hardware store chain beat out the Ritz. And I'm thinking, that's cool. And then I also realized that they've got 46 to 4,700 stores owned by 3,000 owners. So you've got a small business in many cases, because a lot of these owners just own one store. Some own more than one. And then you've got this huge co-op, this big multi-billion dollar company. So I've got a big company and a small company, and I thought, or small businesses. And I thought, that's perfect. That's what everybody is. It's one or the other or somewhere in between. We've got them covered. So they just seem like the perfect company to use as a role model. And the more I got into it, the more I realized I made the right decision, that this is an amazing company. Now, you know, they'll be the first to tell you that, you know, their goal is to be great every time. Like any company, perfection is not reality, but excellence is. And these companies and these individual owners of the retail stores, most of them strive for that excellence.
Shep, how long did it take you to research and interview the retailers and executives for this book?
I probably spent a good 6 months working on, you know, writing the book and doing the interviews and getting it ready for at least the editing.
So, because
it was fun. We did about 60 interviews.
Yeah, because in your book, I mean, you're all over the country and talking to executives and retailers all over the place.
Right. Now, I will admit, you know, with the exception of flying to Chicago and on the occasional city where I happened to be speaking or doing another project where I'd stop in and visit a retailer, a lot of that was done over the phone.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, yeah. Now, you say
it's a great invention, that phone, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you say that Ace Hardware is really a customer-centric business. Explain that term, customer-centric.
Sure. Everything, I mean, a customer-centric company is very focused on the customer, and the concept is that everything you do, every process you put into place, has the customer in mind versus just what's in it for us at our company. So they're not going to, what's the right word I'm looking for? Basically, they're not going to take advantage or put a system in place that only takes advantage of something that's for their own company. There has to be a reason that impacts the customer.
Okay. And you also say that this Ace Hardware, being a customer-centric business, they figured out that they first have to build an employee-centric business. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, and boy, have I taken a little bit of heat on this with some of the customer service experts that are around, because my theory is that before you can really become customer-centric, mm-hmm. you have to be employee-centric. Now, and I'll back up for a moment, because I do believe if it's semantics at times. You have to have, regardless of the company or the business you're in, you have to have a product or service that your customer is going to want to buy. So in that sense, you're thinking about the customer first. But then once you realize that, you've got to step back and say, okay, now how do I do this? I've got to have the right people in place, the right systems in place, and all of those are designed by people so that we can take care of the customer. So focus on your people first. Hire the right people, train them, and make sure that you're very employee-centric, and recognize that your employees need to be treated the same way that customer is treated, if not even better, in order for that customer to have a great experience.
And so that really ties into your phrase of one of your chapters, to be the best place to buy, to be the best place to work, doesn't it?
Correct, yep. And it's really, that I have a saying, I call it golden rule, the employee golden rule, excuse me. I did not invent the golden rule, which, you know, golden rule, doing to others as you would want done unto yourself, or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's paraphrased. Actually, the real golden rule, I believe, if you go back, you know, into the Bible, is do not do unto others as you would not want done unto yourself. So somebody made the optimistic, positive spin on it.
Right.
But the employee golden rule is treat the employee the way you want your customers treated, maybe better.
Now, Shep, in your book, you talk about the power of a company mantra. Explain that and why that's so important.
So the mantra is a one sentence or just a few words or maybe even one word phrase that describes everything you're about. With Ace Hardware, the word is helpful. You know, their jingle is, you know, Ace is the place, the helpful hardware place. But their mantra is helpful, one word. And the goal is that they're the most helpful stores on the planet. So they train their people for that. And and they make sure that the customer knows that's the brand promise, they want to deliver on it. Another favorite of mine, and I mentioned the Ritz-Carlton earlier, they're one of my favorite companies to study, and you know, I just think they're a great role model in customer service. Their mantra is 9 words long. It's, we're ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm using the word mantra. They call it a credo. And by the way, in the book, if you dig in deep enough, and you'll find that in there. But it's really Horst Schultz, who was the first president of the Ritz-Carlton chain when they became a major chain of hotels. He actually came up with that credo, and he came up with it when he was 15 years old.
Wow.
He had to write a term paper. I guess his family, I believe, was in the hospitality business. And he wrote a term paper about, you know, working in that business, and it was titled, We're Ladies and Gentlemen Serving Ladies and Gentlemen. How cool is that?
Yeah, that is cool. Well, what I really liked about your book is it's exactly as you described. You can pick up different chapters, you can flip through, and you can find something that's valuable. And one of those chapters I found that I thought was really valuable was the $5 lifeboat that you described. Tell our listeners about that and what that is.
What happened is one day at one of the Ace Hardware stores, there was a, I believe it was actually during one of their team meetings, and of course they're still taking care of customers as they're trying to meet as a group, and a gentleman came in, a customer came in and said, hey, I sent in this paperwork for my rebate. It was a $5 rebate on some product, and I can't believe it's been 2 months and I haven't gotten it yet. And the owner of the store went over to the cash register and said to the gal, hey, can you give me $5? And she opened the cash register, the cashier did, and gave him a $5 bill. And he said, here, I'm really sorry you had to wait. And by the way, if you do get the refund, you know, or the rebate, you know, feel free to, you know, bring back in and give it back to us. But really, don't worry about it. We feel bad that it happened. And the guy walked out really, really happy. And that $5 lifeboat basically is saying to everybody in the store, hey, if there's a problem, you know, and it doesn't cost a lot, and he basically said, you have up to $5 to spend on anybody to take care of them if there's a problem and fix something. And sometimes there was an example of a lady that brought in a key that wasn't, you know, working, and so the guy went back and he made a new key for her and came out, and he said, nah, no charge, don't worry about it. Really? That's really nice. Well, it was under $5, and he'd been taught about the $5 lifeboat. And in this particular situation, it seemed appropriate to take care of her. And that's what it is. You know, other companies have other numbers. You know, back to the Ritz-Carlton, they're allowed to spend up to $2,000, the housekeeping department, to take care of a customer. Now, recognize, they know what they should do and not do. You know, should they give somebody an amenity like, you know, a bottle of wine if there was a problem, or should they pay for the whole room, or is there something that needs to be bigger than that? They, you know, but basically they're empowering their people to take care of the customer.
Amazing. You know, another chapter that I really enjoyed was your talking about the lifetime value of an average customer. Talk about how important that is.
Well, the lifetime value of the average customer allows you to determine, you know, when you're making decisions, are you making good or bad ones based on money? And to give you an example, and I've always used the grocery store chain as a good example, because on average, and back when I did my research, on average, the average family would visit the grocery store, whoever that person was in the family, 2 times a week, say 50 times a year, or 50 weeks a year, so that would be 100 times. And each time they came in, they spent an average of, say, $50. So that would be $100 a week. That would be $5,000 a year. So when somebody comes in and they say, hey, this milk is spoiled, rather than argue with them, give them the $2 carton of milk, you know, mm-hmm. and say, thank you for your business, because you don't want to lose a $5,000 customer over a $2 or $3 carton of milk.
Exactly. Exactly.
So understanding that, you know, average value of the customer allows you to make better decisions just like that one.
Another chapter that I thought was valuable was where you talked about debriefing your employees, and a lot of people aren't familiar with that term. So can you explain that a little bit and how ACE uses it?
Sure. So the debrief is about you get a complaint letter, and what is the first thing you do? You go to the employee and you talk about it, and you debrief with them, and perhaps you might even sit down with a group of employees and say, this is what happened. How can we avoid this from ever happening again? And you talk about it. But there's another side that you need to look at. Don't just look at complaints. What happens when you receive an accolade letter? What happens when somebody says something great about you? Share that with the team as well and ask the team, why did we receive this letter? Is this just a one-time thing that we'll never be able to repeat again? Or is this something that we can start to do more often, given the situation and the opportunity? So we operationalize the good as well as try to mitigate or eliminate the bad.
Yeah, great point. Then talk about it, one more chapter that I'd like some specifics about, and that's shifting your vocabulary.
Love that one. Yeah.
What does that mean?
So shifting the vocabulary is using different words to describe different things. And the what I talked about in this particular chapter is that think about if the employees are not called employees at Ace Hardware, they're called associates. Does that do much to change the culture? Maybe, maybe not. But it makes maybe a better feeling of inclusion. Some companies call their employees team members. Disney calls them cast members. There's one of my organizations called that I work with called Pita Pit. It's a chain of fast food restaurants. They pita sandwiches, and they call their people the pit crew. But one of the cool examples is when you start calling your customers something other than customers. You know, you've heard, you know, there's a difference between a customer and a client. You know, a client, you know, intimates or indicates a long relationship. What about calling them a guest rather than a customer, as they do in the hospitality room? But one of the Ace Hardware retailers said, you know, we call our customers neighbors. So when they walk in the door, we go, hey, neighbor, how are you? You know, what does that do to change the culture and the feel of things? So it's all positive when you take a look at the vocabulary. It can, in fact, change the culture. Now, you need to support it and back it up with everything else. That by itself won't do anything other than just change the name.
But calling your customer neighbors, that just has a whole different feel to how Ace interacts with their people, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about tool number 28, because I like that one too. Ask the extra question. And the reason I'm bringing this one up is when I go into Ace Hardware's, I know this one happens to me every time. So explain that.
Well, the extra question is something to ensure either that you understand what the customer wants or to make sure that the customer has everything they need. So there's different questions to ask. And, you know, the first question somebody's going to ask you when you walk into an Ace Hardware store is, what can I help you find today? Which is great if you're in any kind of, and by the way, this type of question can be, you know, used in virtually any company, any industry, not just retail, but how many times have you walked into a retail store and somebody says, can I help you? Well, that's a yes or no question.
Right.
What can I help you find today is like the person has to think, well, what did I come here to buy? You know, what did I come here, what am I looking for? So that's the first question that starts the conversation. And I'll give you a great story that happened to me back in 1987. I walked into an Ace Hardware store with a bracket that was mounted to a wall that was holding my saloon door in my home. It was kind of, it was coming out of the wall. So I brought that bracket in and I said, I need one of these. And the guy was taking me there and then he asked me the extra question, what are you using it for?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him it was connected to the saloon door and then going into the wall. And he goes, this isn't what you want. He took me to another area and he basically sold me a very inexpensive set of toggle bolts and told me how to use them properly and get them in there. And he saved me money and he gave me what I really needed versus what I actually asked for because he asked the extra question. But to take it a step further, another question that they like to ask at Ace is there anything else on your list? Okay. And if you think about that, that's cool because now I'm not going to let you out of the store unless we make sure you have everything. But if I were to buy a can of paint, what is the obvious question to ask after I buy the can of paint?
Yeah.
It is, do you need brushes?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need whatever else you would need for your painting project?
Yeah.
And I wrote this down yesterday because I think it's going to be a great opportunity to write another article. Ace does not want you to come back.
Right.
Now, don't take that out of context. They actually do want you to come back. They want you to come back over and over again, but they don't want you to come back because you forgot to get something at the store.
Right. Right.
Or worse, they forgot to ask you what you needed before you left the store.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're very, very good at that. In fact, when they ask you that question, what else is on your list, all of a sudden you realize, oh, this person can help me find these things, and this is going to be a lot more easy than I thought it was going to be. Very different than some of their big competitors.
Well, and it's not so much that the big competitors, I mean, even John Van Huysen, who's the CEO of Ace, says, our big competitors, and they're the big box stores like the Home Depot and the Lowe's, he says, they do a great job at what they do. I mean, they're doing it, they're very profitable, they're very successful, so obviously, you know, they're not a bad company. And when you walk into them, they actually will have pretty decent service, and sometimes it's great. What they're really good at, though, is telling you where things are. Mm-hmm. And by the way, sometimes they have very, you know, good seasoned professionals. Maybe they have an electrician, a retired electrician or a plumber, somebody that's now working there that can actually help you. But most of the time, they're just really pleasant, and you say, hey, I'm looking for this. And they'll say, aisle six, halfway down, and there it is. But to really be helpful, asking the extra questions, having people with great product knowledge. So many of the people that work at Ace Hardware, that's what they have. And as you are onboarded through their, you know, hiring process, that's what they focus on, is making sure that you're hired and can answer questions, and you are part of a chain that recognizes the most helpful stores on the planet.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Shep, just fantastic, a fantastic book. It's been really a pleasure to be able to first read the book and then start thinking about how it's going to apply to the clients that are going to read it. It's very easy to read, and as you, just like you said, as you go through the chapters, each one has power in it. So yeah, thank you again for taking the time to write this book.
Well, thanks. This was a fun one. I never have taken one company, and it isn't so much about the company. It was just a deep dive into the company and the ideas that some of these people have. And I'll give you an example. There's a guy, Sean Curry. He's up in Boston, and he had a store for his family, did 30-plus years, and directly next to them, a Home Depot goes up. And you would think that little Ace Hardware store is going to go out of business. But today, they're not just doing well or competing. They're thriving, and literally next door to this big competitor. And here's how. Number one, they stayed in their lane. They do what they do best. But here's what's cool. He went to the manager, and he sat down and had lunch with the manager. And this is like keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, what is it that we do that you don't do, and vice versa? Because we can send people to you when we can't help them, and you can send people to us when you can't help them. That's exactly how the whole conversation started. And Home Depot's hours are longer, and Sean's store stays open the same hours they've always had. They just stick to what they do best. The people know what they have, you know, for merchandise. They know the helpful service they're going to get. They know it's easy to get in and get out of the lot. And so you don't have to deal with, you know, a huge parking lot and, a much larger footprint of the store. And by the way, the Home Depot outspends the typical Ace Hardware store by more than 30 times in advertising dollars.
Wow.
It's David versus Goliath.
Hmm.
And if you've read and you've studied, you know, the Bible, you know, and I'm not a religious man, but I just know that I think David won.
Yeah.
And it's not that he won by taking out the competition. In this case, they win by staying in business and actually thriving in business in spite of this amazing competition that they have.
Yeah. Fantastic story. Shep, wrap up our interview here by letting our listeners know how they can get a hold of your newest book, how they can learn more about you and your customer-focused program, and give them some different information where they can go find out more about your company.
Well, thanks. Thanks for that opportunity. Obviously, you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, go to any of the retailers, and it should be in the stores. If not, they can order. But you can always go to the Amaze Every Customer website, amazeeverycustomer.com. If you want to learn more about what I do, go to hyken.com. That's my last name, Hyken. And then you mentioned the customer focus, which is a very robust training program that we do. And you can, as an individual, take a course, or you can do it as a corporate group. Just go to thecustomerfocus.com, thecustomer, focus.com. And you'll learn about our trainers that actually will come to you, or you can do everything online virtually. A very, very cool product that we have. It's just getting rave reviews, and It's very, very sophisticated and interactive and a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a powerful system. Everybody, I've been talking to Shep Hyken. He's the Chief Amazement Officer of Shepherd Presentations, and his newest book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, 52 Tools for Delivering the Most Amazing Customer Service on the Planet. Shep, thanks for joining me and taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk about your newest book.
Well, John, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I can't wait to come back and do another interview.
Sounds good. Thanks, Shep.
All right, take care. Thank you.